Where do you think this limitless, measureless, without boundary love, grace, and power comes from and is experienced by the believer? It's through the Holy Spirit. How fitting of a song for what we've been talking about and what we'll continue to talk about, not just tonight, but throughout the camp season. Really the work of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit. We have together over these last few days, some of you longer, we've been digging a hole. And you dig a hole for various reasons. Sometimes I say to my children, wow, you're really digging a hole for yourself. I'll let you guess which children I say that to most. But there are various reasons for digging a hole. But if you look back at history, or you look back at the Old Testament, look back at the creation of mankind, one of the first reasons for digging a hole was to dig a well. And out of that well would come water that seemed to be limitless and measureless and without any boundaries. And that water wasn't just for you who dug the well, but it would be for your entire family. And it may even reach beyond you and beyond your family and even be a blessing in your community. The same way with the Holy Spirit. The Lord wants us to continue to dig as we have been over these last few nights. You know, I live close to the beach, and for as long as I can remember, I've been digging my own holes at the beach. Some of you have been doing similar to me throughout your whole lives, maybe even here at Pilgrim Camp. And sometimes if I'm further from the water, from the ocean, and I dig a hole, if I want to fill it with water, I have to take a pail or a bucket or some container in order to go down to the water and fill it and then bring it to the hole and empty it in the hole and then go back to get some more water and fill it and come back to the hole to empty the pail in. And sometimes by the time I get back, the first bucket of water is gone. And I learned throughout the years that if you get close enough to the water and you just begin to dig and begin to dig and begin to dig and begin to dig, all of a sudden what might be that dry sand, you begin to sense some moisture in that sand until you dig far enough where the source of that water is right underneath you. And I think that's what the Lord is doing and wanting us to do in these days, weeks, months. Maybe you've been doing it before even coming to camp, but I want to encourage you tonight, keep digging, keep digging, keep digging. We're going to look in Scripture in just a minute at Acts chapter 1 and maybe a little bit at Acts chapter 2. Brother John gave us some really, really good biblical advice last night, I believe it was, as he spoke during the service. How can we better walk in the Spirit? I'll just read the list to you again. I put it in my notes in case you missed it. Read your Bible daily. Talk to the Holy Spirit often. Spend time with God in prayer. Refocus your mind often. Every thought into captivity, into the obedience of Christ, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, pray in the Spirit, worship God, turn away from sin. What are most of these things doing actively on our part? It's digging. It's digging. It's digging. Let's look at Acts chapter 1. We're going to start right here in verse 2. The Bible says that until the day when he was taken up into heaven, that is Jesus, after he had given orders by the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, to those he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of things regarding the kingdom of God. Most of you already know this is a time where Jesus had already ministered for 3 years. He was crucified. He had been risen from the dead. He appeared to his disciples and to many. And I love the New American Standard Bible, which says that he had done what? He had convincing proofs appearing to them over a period of 40 days, speaking of things regarding the kingdom of God. And I am so thankful that the Christian faith is not a blind faith. The Christian faith is not a blind faith. And there are many people who don't even begin to explore Christianity or Jesus or the Word of God because they think it is a blind faith. But it is not a blind faith. And I would agree, it would be foolish to just believe something 100% without absolutely any evidence or proof whatsoever. And God is not requiring of us a blind faith, but it is a faith that is born in the evidence that he has proven to us over and over and over again in our lives. That's the faith that's required. It's a faith that he helps us to have through the proof of who he is, because Jesus delights in showing himself to us. And the job and the joy of the Holy Spirit is to reveal Jesus to us. And God sent his Son into this world that we might have a relationship with God through Jesus, who is evidence and proof and example of the Father. Thank God that we do not have to walk into this blindly. You know, I was speaking to the one who was instructing us in regards to lifeguarding and water safety instructor course here at the camp, and he doesn't know the Lord. And we got into this conversation where I was able to say to him, the evidence of God is all around us, all around us. And you've heard many people say it before, it would take more faith, in my opinion, and in the opinion of many, to believe there isn't a God at this point than that there is a God. The evidence is everywhere. And the more advanced technology becomes, and the more we're able to see what is out there, and the more we're able to discover how small and intricate God's creation is, the more evidence that is that God is real and he is who he says he is. I look at the scriptures and I say to folks in our group all the time, and I said it to this friend Aaron that we're going to pray for, that God would get a hold of his soul, that although he came here to teach us how to save lives in a physical, natural way, which is good, that God by the Holy Spirit would get a hold of him and save him spiritually. Amen? That's something he can't teach us, but that's something God taught us that we can help him with. Praise the Lord. And I said to him, it's interesting, the more I read the Bible and study the Bible, if it were true that there's so many contradictions in the Word, then you would think the more you read it, the more you wouldn't believe it. Yet the more I read and study and teach the Word of God, the more I see how beautifully knit together God's Word is, for one simple reason, it's true. It's true. It's true. And so here we read, the Lord is showing himself to them. And I'm so thankful, as Brother John reminded us the other night, that those in Scripture that God uses are ordinary people. But when the Spirit of God gets a hold of ordinary people, extraordinary things begin to happen. Amen. He is the extra. Hallelujah. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And for the life of me, I can't understand why people have allowed themselves to become so convinced that the Holy Spirit and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit is not for us today. I'm here to remind us, the Holy Spirit is just as much for us today as it was for them 2,000 years ago. And we need it just as much, if not more. We need it. And as we prayed and we believed for one another just the other night, and I mentioned that for God, these miracles that took place in Scripture, they weren't thousands of years ago. They were like yesterday for him. And if you would understand that these are things God did just yesterday, maybe you would believe he can do it again today. In the same way, Pentecost in our minds was 2,000 years ago, but to God, Pentecost was yesterday. And so the Lord wants to continue to reveal himself and show himself through his word, through his blood, through his Spirit to each and every one of us. And there's a danger out there in different groups being taught in different ways. But at the end of the day, all of these groups and all of their teachings, which is not lining up with Scripture, it leaves a believer empty. And I don't want to live an empty life. I don't want to live a powerless life. I don't want to live an ineffective life. I often think of those that are living that way, even though they go to church, and I see it all over their face. And when I talk to them, they're what I call frustrated Christians, because it's very frustrating to live a Christian life without the power of the Holy Ghost. It's very frustrating to do that, because there are things you know you need to do, things you know you should be doing, but you don't have the power to do them, and that could be very, very frustrating. But if you realize the power of God is available for you today, and you keep digging until you are at a place where that river of living water, the source of everything you need, is flowing out of your inner being, and have that power in your life, until you have that moment, you'll live a frustrated life. And I've been there many times in my life, and sometimes still today, because I too need to continue to dig and to dig and to dig. And so some out there, they speak about the fact that we don't have a choice in our salvation. And they would make you believe that this is something that is involuntary on your part, and this is 100% God. And yet those same people do not believe in the manifestations and the power of the Holy Spirit to live a Christian life and be more like Jesus. When it comes to that, they say, you got to be really disciplined, and you got to be really good, and you got to strive really hard on your own in order to make it work. So you're not saved by your choice, but you now need to live a saved life by your choice. I'm here to tell you today, getting saved, being saved, staying saved, living saved, takes the power of the Holy Spirit, and it takes the obedient free will and the yielding of the person. This is a partnership with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, witnessing with our spirit. That's what this is, together. Together. Let's continue on in Acts chapter 1 here. The Bible tells us in verse 4, gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Not many days from now. And you know, there's something about the promise being not many days from now. And we often think that the opposite of faith is doubt, and it's fear. But I think for us, the biggest enemy against our faith is often time. Because the longer the time goes without us seeing the promise, the harder it is for us to believe. But when Jesus says to them, you will receive this promise not too many days from now, it gave them a heart to continue to dig, even though they might not have seen it day number one, or day number two, or day number three. In fact, they wouldn't see it till, I guess, day number 10, if my math is correct. You know, it's interesting. You figure 10 days, that sounds about the time that you're here at Pilgrim Camp, just about. You know, sometimes we come to a meeting and we expect something to happen in that meeting, and we should come to meetings expecting, but we spend all day not digging, and then we expect somehow for an hour we're going to dig, and God's supposed to do what God's supposed to do in that hour. But the 23 other hours of the day, we're not thinking about God, we're not meditating about God, we're not singing about God, we're not falling in love with Jesus, we're not digging. Why does a place like Pilgrim Camp seem to work so well to help us to be in the presence of God? Because it sets us up for opportunities to continue to dig simply by the schedule. I mean, if you follow just the schedule, you're going to be in a time of devotion in the morning if you're a staff member, and you're going to be in a morning meeting. And if you're a guest, there's opportunity for prayer, even sometimes in the mornings before lunch and at breakfast. I missed it, but we sing and we pray. And at dinner time, we sing and we pray. And then in the afternoon, we let you enjoy the beach. And then there's prayer as well for staff, even in the afternoon. And then at supper, we sing and we pray. And then we come back to this meeting house and we seek the Lord some more. And then we're surrounded with the beauty and the nature of God, where even the evidence of his truth and his presence is all around us. And then, of course, we eliminate the other things. We don't have the televisions. If there was a way to eliminate the phones, we probably would do better for that at this point. You know, I grew up at camp at a very good time. It's a good time now as well, of course. But we didn't really have cell phones. They were just kind of coming out when I was younger. Brother Andrew, you remember that, right? And so we didn't come up here with phones. In fact, my parents, after being here all summer, would call Brother Paul in the office and say, or Sister Elsie or Sister Aletha, and say, can you do us a favor? Can you have our son call us? Because all summer long, I wouldn't call them. If I had a phone, they'd be texting me every 5 minutes, right? Some of you have parents that are doing that to you, right? And you say you didn't get the text, but the service is okay up here, right? But we would do well to eliminate distractions. Because sometimes we're digging, but there's an enemy out there who through distraction is taking dirt on the side and throwing it right back in the hole. And sometimes we're digging, we don't even realize our own feet are kicking the dirt right back in the hole through distraction. And so here they were told to go, and here they were told to seek, and here they were told to pray, and the promise would just be in a few days. And when it comes even to any promise, but the baptism of the Spirit, if I told you that the promise God has for you would be yours tomorrow, would you stop digging today? I mean, you'd be pretty foolish. If I told you the treasure is just a few more shovelfuls away of dirt, no matter how hot it is, no matter how dehydrated you are, no matter if you hear the whistles going off at the beach and you'd rather be at the beach than digging a hole, if you knew that treasure was just a couple of inches away from you, would you stop digging? No, of course you wouldn't stop. What if I told you tomorrow, if you keep digging today, you'll reach that treasure? What about a week from now, a month from now? If you knew it was guaranteed, you wouldn't stop digging. And the promise of the Holy Spirit was guaranteed to them. And the promise of the Holy Spirit is a promise that's guaranteed for us as believers today. And we can't stop digging. We need to keep digging. And so they kept digging, and they kept digging, and they kept digging. And in their limited understanding, what do they say? Lord, is it at this time that you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? But he said to them, it is not for you to know periods of time or appointed times, which the Father has set by his own authority. Why? You just keep digging. You just keep digging. Because when the water comes, when the river comes, when the Spirit comes, he will show you exactly what to do, what to say, where to go, how to do it. And it will all line up with what my great plan is for not only you, but for this world. You just keep digging. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and as far as the remotest part of the earth. What seems to be the purpose of this power? It is to be a witness. It's not just so that you can drink from the well, but it's so your family can drink from the well. And you know, in this American dream that we have, we are all consumed just with our own families. And even in Christianity, we've idolized our own families. You know, I would read stories of missionaries that would go overseas, and as horrible as it may seem, their children would die of disease. But they still would continue to be a witness for God so that people who did not know the Lord would know the Lord. Today, I don't think we'd let our kids catch a cold in order to preach the gospel to somebody who's out on the street on a cold day. We've idolized our family, and we ought to be thanking God for our families. But you need to care just as much about someone else's child being saved as you do about your own child being saved. And you know, I love how the Lord works within our churches, because when you care about someone else's child, and they're all taught to care about one another's children, not just their own, then even though you're now caring about other people's children, you got hundreds of people caring about your children. Isn't that beautiful? And as Sister Valerie testified about her and her brother serving the Lord, thank God for her parents. Thank God for the church. Thank God for the many counselors and Sunday school teachers and vacation Bible school workers. You know, you've heard me say it many times. I'm here today because someone knocked on my door and invited me at 4 years old to vacation Bible school. Where would I be if those ladies didn't knock on my door? Where would my dad be, who was an alcoholic and a bar fighter, who they called Crazy Gary? He got saved through the songs being taught and the stories taught through Vacation Bible School to his son. And one day he walked into that church, there was only a handful meeting. What if they would have said, we're not going to have prayer meeting tonight because there's just three of us. There's just five of us. It's raining, it's snowing, whatever the reason, it's hard to park, whatever the reason you got to not go and be a part, where would he have been? But he walked in through those doors and he saw those people worshiping the Lord, and he got on his knees when he went home and he said, Jesus, if you're real, bring me back to that church. And he went back that next vacation Bible school, and as Brother Kenny and Sister Lily were singing a hymn about Jesus on the cross, my dad saw a vision of Jesus and he experienced the love of God in that moment like he never experienced, yet it was what he was looking for his entire life. Thank God for Canarsie Full Gospel Chapel. Thank God for them. Thank God for them. And so the Lord is encouraging us to seek him and encouraging us to dig, encouraging us to be faithful, encouraging us to be a witness, not just so that we can benefit, but so that all those that are around us can drink of the well. And you know, when they drink of the water from the well, it's going to cause them to want to dig their own well also. And that's why, you know, we may not be experiencing the manifestations and the power of the Holy Spirit the way we want to. You and I would do well to read the stories of those who were radically transformed and radically changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Testimonies of those out of the early 1900s all the way to today, not only through our fellowship or through the revival in Zion, but the revival in Azusa Street, and not just there, but do you know that there was awakenings and revivals that God started by the Holy Spirit even upstate New York, here in this state, not too far from where we are? And you know what happens when you read those stories? You begin to realize, if God did it for them, he can do it for us. You begin to realize that if God did that in this very room many times in the past, what's to stop God from doing it in this very room tonight? What's to stop him? What's to stop him? And so for 10 days, they were in unity, and they were in prayer, and they were waiting and expecting, and they didn't know what it looked like. They had no clue. And you know, some of us are scared for the Holy Spirit to move because it's not something we've experienced before, and we don't know exactly what that's going to look like. And if you're only waiting for God to do what you've only experienced him do in your life in the past, then all you're going to continue to experience in the future is only what you've experienced in the past. And so the reading of the testimonies, the reading of scripture, the seeing of what God did in other people's lives, this ought to encourage us and inspire us to say, Lord, if it's from you, whatever it looks like, whatever it sounds like, we want it. We want it. Oh, well, I don't know if I'm kind of refined and dignified, and I don't want to be made to look like a fool. But that abandonment, that surrender, that yielding is exactly what the Lord is looking for. And if your thought process is, I'm not willing to yield to the Holy Spirit because I'm worried about what other people are going to think or how I'm going to be perceived, then we're already missing the point. And so a lot of churches have squashed the moving of the Holy Spirit, and they call themselves Pentecostal. And on paper, they call themselves Pentecostal. You know, in Scripture, they were never referred to as Pentecostal. God would prefer us not necessarily need to use the word Pentecostal and have the Holy Spirit moving than use the word Pentecostal and not having the word the Holy Spirit moving at all. We want the Holy Spirit to move and to have His way in us and through us. Why? Because it's the only effective way to live the Christian life. It's the only effective way to be a witness to the world. And we're looking at the world and what the world is doing and what the world has done. And we look at it as a hopeless case. But if there are things in the world that seem so hopeless, it's really not the fault of the world. But it's that the light that God has left here, it's the light not shining bright enough. Have you heard that phrase before? Light shines the brightest in the darkest of places. If you think America is a dark place, or your city or your school is a dark place, yet you are shining by the Holy Spirit, Jesus. Like I said, Sister Gerda would shine Jesus even from her face. It's probably the thing I'll remember about her the most. Wherever she walked and I saw her and she spoke and she talked, I'm like, I think I'm listening to Jesus right now. It lights up a room. It can light up your classroom. It can light up your family. You know, I didn't even know at 4 years old that I was singing these songs from church and reciting these scriptures from church. I didn't even know that. But the Lord was using me to bring light into our dark house. And the Lord used that to save our family. Praise God. And He can do and wants to do the same thing for you and the same thing for me. And then what do we read as they're in that upper room in chapter 2? Turn there with me real quickly as we get ready to pray tonight. Chapter 2. You know, at House on the Rock Church a few years ago, I talked to some friends of ours. They were missionaries, evangelists. We were supporting them. I was new in friendship with them, and they were going to Africa, and they were going to the Caribbean, Dominican Republic. They were going to India, and they would come, and they would share what the Lord was doing. You ever have someone come to your church or here, and you're like, Lord, you know, how come that's happening in India and Africa, and that's not happening here in New York and happening in America? And so the Lord put it on my heart, ask them to come to Rockaway, to New York City, and do whatever it is they're doing there. Let's do it right here. And they said, well, yeah, absolutely. And so we scheduled that next year that for 8 days and 8 nights, we would together seek the Lord. Now that's kind of close to this 10-day number. It's kind of close to this 11 or so night that some of you hear, the campers, I think it's 11, 10, depends on the period, right? I think this one's a little shorter. It might be 10 exactly. I don't remember. Some of you are here for 14. Some of you are here like Brother Tevin. I mean, you got so much time to dig a well for Jesus, brother. All summer long. Yeah, you better have the deepest well here, brother. We're going to come check at the end. 8 days. I didn't know what I was getting myself into. They said, okay, we're going to meet here at 8 in the morning for prayer. Okay, I can do 8 in the morning for prayer. That's not too early. When's breakfast? Oh, we're not going to eat breakfast. Oh, we're not going to eat breakfast. What are we going to do? We're going to fast. All right, well, you know, I grew up in the Ridgewood Fellowship. We didn't hear a lot about fasting. You know, even our prayer retreats and we're going 3 times. That bell rings. We're like Pavlov's dogs. We're all at the palace, right? 30 minutes earlier, we start to salivate because they ring it 30 minutes earlier just to tell us we're going to eat in 30 minutes, right? And so I wasn't accustomed, you know, to fasting, right? It just wasn't one of the, we have many great lights, and we talk about fasting, but it's not as much of a practice. But these guys fasted. Okay, so we're going to fast, and we're going to pray. And there we are praying. Well, is someone going to teach? Is someone going to speak? No, we're just going to pray. And if you're filled with the Holy Spirit and the Lord is wanting you to encourage yourself and edify yourself, even pray in the Holy Ghost. I believe Pastor John mentioned that to us, and I think it might have even been on the list of things to do to keep digging the well and to press in and to walk in the Spirit is to speak in tongues and allow the Lord to speak through you, because sometimes you don't even have the words to say. And so here we were, and the Lord was moving in the morning prayer time, and all the way until what would have been lunch had we had a lunch, but we fasted lunch as well. And so now we're praying through lunch, and 30 people, 40 people came out early. And normally we're thinking the night is the culmination. That's when the service is. But all these people were seeking God all day long. Now we're going to go out on the street, and we're going to and talk to the people about Jesus. And then we're going to invite them to come out to the service at night, and we're continuing to pray. They stopped for supper, and we did eat supper. Praise God. Praise God. We had supper. And then we had pre-service prayer for the night service for an hour. And the Holy Spirit was falling during pre-service prayer. And that first night or two, I thought, I don't think I've seen this. I don't think I've experienced this. And the Lord began to move in that service. And then day two, we're going to do this again? I mean, this was a lot for one day. And I was tired, like you're tired here at Pilgrim Camp, right? Because not only are you digging well spiritually, but Brother Tom on the grounds has some of you digging holes, doing who knows what on grounds out there, right? You're digging. And that second night, the same thing, God moved. And that third day, that third night, the fourth day, fourth night, we saw people healed right before our eyes. I've never really seen that. And I've been a Christian my whole life. I've been a pastor for many years. I saw people healed. There was a lady from our church that I knew for years who can barely get in and out of a car. She used a cane. She walked as slow as you can possibly imagine. And all of a sudden, one night after being prayed for, she was leaping and jumping and touching the ground with her hands like this. And she never used her cane again. That was 3 years ago. And I had to grab the mic. I said to the evangelist, I said, you don't know this woman. I know this woman. For 3 years, she couldn't do what we all just saw her do right now. Wow, you dig and dig. Faith. Yeah. Oh, there's a bit of water now. The sand is a little moist now. We're getting somewhere now. And the Holy Spirit moved that first year, each of those 8 nights, and then the last night. But before I tell you what we saw and what the Lord did, let me just read this to you. What does it say? And suddenly a noise like a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And tongues that looked like fire appeared to them, distributing themselves, and a tongue rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. All filled. How many were up there? 120. All filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with different tongues, and the Spirit was giving them the ability to speak out. And what did the Lord do? He used this in a mighty way, because there were Jews there in Jerusalem from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the crowd came together and they were bewildered, because each of them was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? And you know what they were speaking, by the way? Look at verse 11 at the end. It says, we hear them speaking in our own tongues of the mighty deeds of God. And what was the mightiest deed of God that you can think of that took place very recently to this day of Pentecost? It was the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, the gospel, the good news. And remember what Jesus said, because I live, you shall live also. That's the best news you can possibly tell somebody, that Jesus is alive and his life can be inside of your life. And even though you were dead and you felt dead and you were thinking like a dead person, now you can have the resurrection power of God in your life. And if the grave could not keep back the power of God through Jesus on the resurrection, then nothing through the Holy Spirit is going to be able to keep the church back. Nothing. But why is the church being held back? Because it lacks the power of the Holy Spirit. Why probably are you being held back? Because we lack the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Well, let me tell you, on that eighth night of the Eight Nights of Hope, which is what we call it, and this year we're doing the third time that we've done that, a little bit shorter, in July. The Holy Spirit and the presence of God was in the backyard, which is where we had these meetings, in such a powerful way, and everybody knew God had visited us. It was almost like heaven had come down. Have you ever been in a meeting like that? I'm sure many of you have. It was like heaven literally had come down. And it was amazing. People were healed. People were saved off the street. People were baptized in water. People were baptized by the Holy Spirit. And various manifestations of the Holy Spirit were happening all around us. Even, and this is interesting, because the whole quieting of the Holy Spirit in a meeting, that's something that I've seen many times through the fellowship and many times at Pilgrim Camp, but most other groups out there, that is very, very foreign to them. Would you imagine this entire group of people who are not from that experience, many of which are newly saved, some saved just in those days, a complete hush over the entire yard? Why? Because when you read all the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, you know what it says? It says, and by the same Spirit tongues, and by the same Spirit prophecy, and by the same Spirit wisdom. So when people say to me, well, this is for today, that's not for today, this is for today, I say, hold it a minute. This was all by the same Spirit, which means the Spirit is here and the Spirit is working. The Spirit's going to do all these things that the Spirit has done on the day of Pentecost, all of it. And so after service, one of the girls who were watching our children in nursery, the service was going very, very late. And when it was over, she said, you know, I opened the back door and I looked out to see if you guys were almost done, but I couldn't see anything. She said the fire from those torches that you had in the grass to keep the bugs away, Those torches were so bright. She said, I couldn't even see you guys. And like 5 minutes later, I opened the door again and I looked up to see if you were done. I couldn't see anything. The fire was so bright. And I looked and tears began to come down my eyes. You see, earlier that day, we were deciding whether or not we were to light those torches or not. And we made the decision that we weren't going to light them at all. They weren't on. They weren't lit. And as she looked out, she didn't see the fire of a torch that was made with a human fire or natural fire, but she saw a fire of the Holy Spirit that had rested on us. And I find it interesting because I look at this account and I don't know what that fire looked like or was, and if it was symbolic or natural. It says it appeared like fire. I can only tell you our experience, and I'm here to tell you tonight, God has so much for us. Amen. So much more than what you've experienced so far. He just wants you to have the faith that He will show evidence of for you to dig a little deeper and a little deeper and a little deeper. And it's worth it, my friends. It's worth it, my brothers and sisters. Because to live a Christian life for 60, 70, 80 years, but live powerlessly and ineffectively is frustrating. But when you live under the unction and the power of the Holy Spirit, God Himself living inside of you in such a powerful, personal, wonderful way, there will be things He will have you do and places He'll have you go and things He'll have you say that you never could figure out and never do and never manipulate and never have enough earthly wisdom in order to do. And you'll look and you'll say, this wasn't me. This was Christ in me, the hope of glory. And that's the purpose of the cross. That's the purpose of forgiveness of sin. We stop at the cross. We stop at the resurrection. But the whole purpose of cleansing the temple was so that the Spirit of the presence of God Himself could come and dwell in His people. And I need it more today than yesterday. Stand with me tonight, if you would. Let's stand. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Come, Lord. They rejected Jesus. Not so much the non-Jews, but the Jews who had all of the truth in writing, and they literally had the truth standing right in front of them, and they rejected Jesus. And they said, these signs and wonders you're doing, you're even doing them by the power of the devil. Could you imagine saying what God is doing is the devil? I mean, is there anything more insulting you can possibly say to God? I mean, the devil did what the devil did in order to get the glory that God had, and now here they are attributing God's goodness to the devil. Could you imagine that? Well, I could imagine that, because we're not much different in our flesh today. What did they do to the disciples who were filled with the Holy Spirit? Oh, they're drunk. What did they do with the disciples who were being used by God to see people saved and healed and delivered? They were rejecting that. They wanted to kill them. They couldn't even rejoice when people were being healed right in front of them. And dare I say, there are people in our midst, maybe not here tonight because I don't want to be that insulting since you're here, but there are people in our churches who would reject the very power of God if it did come to the service. And they're very critical of what's happening in other churches and in other groups. I got to tell you, be very careful. I'd rather say nothing than accidentally attribute something God is doing to the devil. Be very careful. And I'd rather be so busy digging, expecting God to help me break through to a well of living water in my own life and for my family and our church, than spending most of my days criticizing everybody else. And I started pastoring a church that is a Pentecostal church. In fact, most of the Assemblies of God churches took the word Assemblies of God out of their titles. This one kept it in there. So I thought, oh, this is a good place to preach the Holy Ghost. Till I started preaching the Holy Ghost. And people started getting saved. And people started getting baptized. And we started praying for healing. Some people don't like that. How about you? Do you want what God has for you? Or have you so put God into a box that you wouldn't recognize it if it came your way? Last thing as we pray. 8 nights of hope. The Lord was touching people with his power in a way where, and it's happened to me, I don't care frontward, full, backward, down to your knees. The bottom line was the power of God was so real, I couldn't contain just staying the way I was staying, standing up. I've had that happen to me. And so a couple of our brothers, an elder from our church, another pastor from our church, they were talking after the service. You know, I don't know if that's from God. I don't know if that's from God. So I went over to them. I've had those same thoughts. You've had those same thoughts. Who hasn't, right? So I went over. I said, let's talk about this. We talked about it. When we were done, we all three of us came to this conclusion. If it is from God, I want it. And if it is from God, we all should want it. Well, that next night, these three guys are all up at the altar, and they're being prayed for, and all three of them fell out under the power of God. All three of them. And I think it's that heart posture that the Lord is looking for. Lord, if you want me to dance, you want me to clap, you want me to shout, whatever you want, Lord, if it's you, I will yield to you in my life. Oh, Lord, we come to you tonight. We come to you tonight. Oh, Lord, let it be your way, oh God. Lord, we thank you for the testimony we have in Scripture in the book of Acts. We thank you, Lord, that it's not even one time in Acts, but it's four or five times in Acts. Lord, we thank you for the testimony we have of Azusa Street, and we thank you for the testimony we have of Zion, Illinois, and we thank you for the life of those like Martha Wing Robinson, and we thank you for Brother Hans Waldvogel, and Lord, we thank you for the signs and the wonders and the manifestations of your Holy Spirit that you did in this very room, oh God.
Yeah.
This very room, oh Lord.
Yeah.
We thank you for the presence that we all talk about, that we sense here at Pilgrim Camp. But Lord, now we're asking, oh God, for an overflowing of your power, an overflowing of your presence. Lord, a measureless, a limitless, one without boundaries. Lord, we pray tonight, oh God, that our hearts would be so hungry, that we would desire you, oh God, so much that it would break our preconceived ideas of what we think you should or shouldn't do, or how you are or you aren't going to work. We simply say, God, we want what you want for us tonight. We want what you have for us tonight. Lord, we don't want to live a cycle of doing well and then going home and being attacked and anxious and depressed and in a funk and having to get out of it for next year, or questioning if we're even saved, or being tempted by our friends to be wayward with you. Lord Jesus, set a fire in us.
Yes,
set a fire in us tonight,
yes,
Lord.
Lord.
Set the fire of the Holy Ghost and seal the work that you've done in the hearts of the young people that are here on staff, oh God. Lord, even right now as we're praying, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. More of God. More of you in our life, oh Lord. We dig tonight, Lord. We dig tonight, Lord. Oh, come, let's spend, even if it's just a few minutes, let's spend some time tonight seeking the Lord, seeking the Lord. You will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. Oh, Lord, help us to give you all of our heart in the digging, all of our heart in the seeking, all of our heart in the asking and in the knocking, oh God, all. All, Jesus, 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 Jesus,
Jesus,
Holy Spirit,
breathe
on us, you are welcome here, Lord. You are welcome here, Lord.
Pour out your spirit, oh God.
You are welcome here, Lord.
Lord Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jesus.